Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Football Friday here on Fantasy Sports Today, getting you ready for the upcoming fantasy football weekend. Of course, we got off to a rousing start with 75 points in the game last night. Hopefully you played some Jets or played some Colts. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock here on this Friday. We'll recap last night's game, also look ahead to the upcoming games this week, check in with Jim Sanis, talk a little daily fantasy as well. But Davis, good start, at least to the fantasy week, with 75 points. I don't know that a lot of people... You certainly cashed in on that game yesterday with, playing Jets or even honestly playing Colts. But, can't complain with the amount of points that were scored. That's for sure.
No, I mean, probably the only guy you were disappointed if you somehow started him in a fantasy league was Mike White, because he left that game injured early. But huge game for Jonathan Taylor, 20 fantasy points for Nyheim Hines. Michael Pittman scores a touchdown. Jack Doyle scores a touchdown. Carson Wentz has a fine game, 2 touchdowns for Elijah Moore. Ty Johnson scored his garbage time touchdown for a third straight week of double-digit fantasy points. I guess Michael Carter, people were getting excited about Michael Carter, and Ty Johnson got that garbage time stuff instead of him. So I guess you could be a little bit disappointed if you started him. The thing that got me the most excited was Elijah Moore, though. You know I love my rookie wide receiver, so I was very pleased to see him get in on the action in that game.
Yeah, very, very heavily involved. Jets drafted wide receivers early on the last couple of years. Glad this one looks better than the last. Mims, I don't even think I've heard his name all season long. So let's get to our headlines here on this Friday. We have a lot to cover, so let's get right to it. 45-30 was the final yesterday. Obviously, it was not that close. Josh Johnson came in relief of Mike White. We'll hear from Mike White on his injury coming up. The Browns release Odell Beckham Jr., so his tenure in Cleveland is over. I feel like people are spending way too much time on this topic, but I guess we will as well. Packers get Davante Adams back off the COVID list, so Jordan Love will have his main target this weekend when he makes his NFL season debut. The Sixers win their fifth game in a row, playing great basketball. They beat Detroit 109-98. Detroit actually led this game at the half, and then Philadelphia came back and won pretty big. And the Lakers, wow, blow a 19-point lead. They fall to OKC. 107-104, second big lead in a week that the Lakers have blown to Oklahoma City. Of course, LeBron James not currently playing for the Lakers right now. And also, Davis, we got news today, about an hour ago, that Trevor Siemian is going to start for the Saints versus the Atlanta Falcons and not Taysom Hill. Was there a Taysom Hill update? Is he even available in this game, or was he ruled out? I did not see that part of it.
So that's what's so bizarre, is that Adam Schefter reported yesterday that Taysom Hill was upgraded to a full practice on Thursday for the New Orleans Saints. So we basically all saw that news and we said, okay, Taysom Hill, guy makes $16.5 million a year, probably means that he will be starting at quarterback and not, being a punt gunner and a backup tight end for the New Orleans Saints. But that is not what's happening. For whatever reason, they are going with Siemian. It may be Taysom is still, you know, feeling wonky from this concussion or something. Maybe he hasn't been practicing as a quarterback this year. Like, it's hard for me to imagine how we went from, you know, Taysom playing over Jameis at quarterback last year and delivering, you know, fairly decent results. We all know Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill. So I personally do not understand why Trevor Siemian is starting at quarterback.
Yeah, and we'll see if, you know, Hill's even involved in the game plan. I'm not really sure what exactly is going on there, no doubt. Over to the NBA real quick. Look, the Lakers have had a rough go of it, Davis. I mean, no LeBron James. I know they're waiting for him to come back, maybe a week, maybe two. But, wow, like losing – I mean, Oklahoma City, I don't even think they have more than a couple of wins all season.
Yeah, I mean, that is the weirder thing about the Oklahoma City Thunder is they've played really tough games against the Los Angeles Lakers. They mostly have not been very good this season. They're only two wins on the season, 123-15 against the Lakers, and last night's game 107-104 against the Lakers. They've been blown out a bunch of times. They got blown out by Golden State. But – you know, we all said coming into the season, this Lakers roster doesn't make a ton of sense. They are definitely going to need full health from their three stars. And not only will they need full health, but they'll need those three stars to find a way to learn how to play together. They all like to use the ball. LeBron James and Russell Westbrook, not a great fit. Does not seem like Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis are a great fit. And Craig, they just have a bunch of old guys, right? DeAndre Jordan and Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony. Like, they just have a lot of old players who are on the back half of their careers, maybe back fourth of their careers. And it does not look great for the Lakers right now.
Yeah. Heat dropped the game last night, Davis. I don't know if you caught that at home against the Boston Celtics. Miami was playing the best NBA of any team in the NBA. And I mean, I guess that's being redundant, but they here in South Florida, it was really upsetting to see Kyle Lowry go down. Hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, I actually was tracking that game because I had Tyler Herro in my main daily fantasy lineup, needed some points for Tyler Herro, and he had a really bad shooting night, even with Lowry going down. And then also Jaylen Brown left that game for the Boston Celtics, did not return with a leg injury. Haven't seen an update on him today, but of course, you know, any long-term absence by Jaylen Brown would be brutal for the Boston Celtics, who are a very top-heavy team in the Eastern Conference right now.
All right, so with that, we'll get back to some fantasy football coming up next. It's time for us to recap the fantasy perspective from the Indianapolis Colts win over the New York Jets. We'll also hear from running back Jonathan Taylor and quarterback Mike White for the New York Jets, whose status, basically for the next game seemingly is up in the air as he left the game with, I guess they're calling an elbow.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Injury from last night. As I mentioned, Jim Sannis will be along. We'll set you up for DFS. Brett and Davis will help you out in NBA DFS tonight. And we got you covered here from noon to 2 Eastern, as we do every single day here on the Friday. So stay on the grid. We will be back in just a couple of minutes right here on Sports Grid. Don't go back. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Nish, Davis Maddock with you here until 2 o'clock Eastern. Last night, the Colts beat the Jets 45-30. Offensive breakout for Indianapolis. Not a team usually known for that kind of offense. And by the way, Jets supposed to have a pretty good defense with Robert Saleh. That did not work out at all last night. Let's take a look at the Colts fantasy standouts. We got Carson Wentz throwing for 3 touchdowns last night and 272 yards. So well worth the play on Thursday night for sure. Jonathan Taylor emerging as, I don't know, top 3 pick in fantasy next year, perhaps. 70-yard touchdown, 172 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 28 yards, 2 scores. Nyheim Hines also involved in the action, 74 rushing yards, 4 receptions, 34 yards and a score. Michael Pittman getting involved in the touchdowns, had a nice season for him too, 5 receptions, 64 yards, and a touchdown. After the game, Jonathan Taylor was asked about his long touchdown run and how fast he was actually running for that touchdown.
You saw the hole. I mean, when you get a hole like that, you got to take it. You got to take it the distance. I mean, the O-line has been working their tails off, you know, all year. But when you get those opportunities, you never know when they're going to come. But that's why you got to stay ready. So when you see that opportunity, I mean, the hole can close like that. So you got to be able to hit it and make it count. You know, who doesn't like a one-play drive?
What does it feel like to go 22 miles an hour? That you were, they clock you at 22.05 on this 78-yard run.
Yeah, I've been chasing 23 for a long time. Ever since Isaac Garrido, running back at Wisconsin, he came in and he hit 23 miles per hour in the summer. So ever since then, I've been trying to hit 23.
22 miles an hour, Davis, running. Wow. Jonathan Taylor is fast, I guess, as the understatement of the year. But look, the Colts, seemingly, Davis, through the years, have had a lot of viable running backs in fantasy. It's just they haven't committed to one. They've just had a lot of guys. Marlon Mack, remember him? Jordan Wilkins, remember him? It's like anybody who sort of runs there. Now, Taylor's obviously very talented. Let me not downplay that. But the combination of the offensive line, the way that the game is called, and the ability of Jonathan Taylor, if this guy stays healthy, and he came out for a bit yesterday, I mean, how high would you have him on your rankings right now, running back? 2, 3, 1? It's got to be close to the top.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kamara still number one right now. His workload and his role is pretty unassailable. But you are right. I mean, we are finally seeing the team pretty much fully turn over the backfield. He played 69% of the snaps last night. He got 19 carries. Weirdly enough, no games with 20 carries for Jonathan Taylor yet this year. They gave Nyheim Hines 6 carries last night. Sam Ehlinger came in for a rush attempt at the goal line, which was, I don't know, very, very bizarre to see Sam Ehlinger get the goal line snap, but that is what he did at Texas. With Marlon Mack being a game day inactive, though, it seems like there is a less contentious Odell Beckham situation going on in Indianapolis. Clearly, they tried to trade Marlon Mack. No one wanted to trade for him. Marlon Mack, you know, does not want to be the third string running back on the Indianapolis Colts. So maybe they cut him, right? If you're going to be a healthy scratch, you know, maybe they choose to cut him and see if someone scoops him up on the waiver wire. You know, San Francisco could probably use him. Baltimore could definitely use Marlon Mack right now. So there probably are some teams that would love to sign him. And if Marlon Mack is going to be a healthy scratch moving forward, that is pretty big for Jonathan Taylor's workload, no doubt about it.
All right, let's go over to the New York Jets, and things were looking real good again for Mike White, slinging the ball around, taking chances, throwing downfield. Ugh, and then he got hurt, came out of the game. He was 7 for 11, 95 passing yards and a touchdown. Then Josh Johnson came in, and in the fourth quarter of garbage time was fantastic, 317 yards, 18 rushing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Ty Johnson had 21 rushing yards, 2 receptions, 40 yards and a score. Elijah Moore had 7 receptions, 84 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I thought Michael Carter looked pretty good too, but Brett, I guess, disagrees. He took him off the graphic here. Shame on you, Brett. Don't do that again. I like Michael Carter. Leave him on there. Mike White left the game yesterday with an injury. He talked about what happened during the game and sort of where he stands moving forward.
We don't know exactly when it occurred. I know I felt it on the touchdown throw to Elijah. And I just kind of felt it kind of almost lock up on me and going to the sideline, my finger, my 2 middle fingers kind of went numb. And I couldn't, you know, aggressively grip the ball, you know, enough to be out there and help my team. So, you know, throughout the course of the game, we kept trying different things, compression sleeve, heat, all that good stuff, and we tried to throw at halftime, and it progressively got better throughout the game. It feels better now, but just during the course of the game, I just couldn't get enough effectiveness with my grip and power to be able to help the team.
You know, Davis, what's really interesting about this, and by the way, Mikey White played baseball at NSU here in South Florida. What's interesting about this, Davis, is that if that is the description of a baseball player and a pitcher after the game, our assumption is he's having Tommy John surgery, perhaps, and he's out for the season. So I am worried here about Mike White. How about you?
You know, you need a little bit more control and finesse of a baseball than you do with a football, because you have to be so inch perfect. Like, we know that quarterbacks have played through stuff like this in the past. You know, if you know, there are ways these NFL teams, they are on the absolute, you know, cutting edge of ability to, like, stimulate nerves and, you know, more importantly, focus recovery, you know, asking your body to focus, you know, all the white blood cells on the area of your body that you need it via heating and cooling and, like, oxygen and stuff. And NBA teams do this stuff for guys that with their knees and things like that as well. I would guess we probably see Mike White again, you know, because it is so different, the difference between baseball and football. Like, I would think we would also. I may have missed this. I mean, do we have an injury update on Zach Wilson? Like, is he on the IR? Is he on the designated for return IR? Like, I have not heard a peep since the Mike White experience started on, like, what Zach Wilson's injury is. And I kind of wonder if the Jets just want to shut him down because he looks so bad and the backup quarterbacks have been so good and they don't want Zach Wilson to go back in there and stink it up for them.
Yeah, I think Wilson is on the IR, but designated to return. So it means that he would miss 3 weeks. So one more, I guess, is what he would have to miss. But Davis, we could be getting Josh Johnson or Joe Flacco next week. I guess that, I mean, why didn't they trade for Joe Flacco to not play him? I'm
so
confused.
Weird. Yeah, they traded for him and he's on the sideline in a hoodie and a hat. And they're down to two quarterbacks with Mike White and Josh Johnson. But Joe Flacco was not even active. I think, if I remember correctly, there used to be a rule in the NFL that you could have an emergency third string quarterback and he would not count against the active roster. I don't know if that rule still exists, but I guess that was the role that Joe Flacco was filling for the Jets yesterday. But it does seem odd to trade whatever marginal asset it was for Joe Flacco and then be using Josh Johnson, who is maybe one of the all-time, you know, football journeyman stories in the entire history of the sport. Guy's played in every professional football league that's existed. He's been on practice squads. They said last night it was his 12th team, including the Jets once previously, which is just hilarious.
Why do you think it took 8 games for Elijah Moore to do what he did last night?
Well, they were not, first off, they weren't playing him. You know, he was playing a limited snap role and he did get injured. And also, look, he played the beginning of his career with Zach Wilson, who just, for whatever reason, does seem worse than Mike White and Josh Johnson. And also, he was competing for slot snaps with Braxton Berrios and Jamison Crowder. And he can play outside, but he's a more natural fit in the slot. And so I think they'll probably play the veterans a little bit less and play the young guys a little bit more over the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think he looked really good. Time to start playing him and see what you got. That's only having a couple of wins under their belt this season for sure. Okay, coming up next, time to take a look, our first look at Daily Fantasy Slate coming up this Sunday. We'll look at some core plays over in DFS on DraftKings. So stay on the grid with us. Plenty more fantasy sports today will come. Also, it's really put up or shut up time for a lot of players that you probably own in fantasy football. It's kind of now or never, and we're going to touch on some of those players coming up in a little bit. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Just a couple of quick updates for those of you getting ready for the fantasy football weekend. We have, let's see, Saquon Barkley out for the New York Giants. Didn't practice today, not going to play on Sunday. So that means another week of Booker playing at running back. And then Davis, no practice also today for Kyler Murray of the Arizona Cardinals. He did not practice all week. And he is a game time decision going into Sunday. So it's, you know, similar to a Dak situation with maybe a 60-40 chance of him playing, but you just better have another quarterback ready to put in if you have Kyler Murray this weekend.
So the leagues where I have Kyler Murray, I'm just assuming that I'm going to have to start him. You know, specifically, I have him in two super flex leagues where do I really want to move in Colt McCoy or Chris Streveler? Probably not. Those are the backup quarterbacks for the Arizona Cardinals. Streveler was a guy who played in the CFL. He's like a Taysom Hill-esque type guy. Like, he just is like a short yardage runner. I do think Colt McCoy probably would start. But what Cliff Kingsbury said is that Kyler can start even if he doesn't practice all week. DeAndre Hopkins also has not practiced all week for the Arizona Cardinals. AJ Green is on the reserve COVID list, so they might be down to our guy, Andy Isabella, might actually get some playing time this week. They have a guy by the name of Antoine Wesley who will get a little bit, and then we should see. I mean, this might be the most that Rondale Moore ever plays for the Arizona Cardinals, which if Kyler starts, you know, I think is a little bit interesting. And then Devontae Booker, not only is Saquon not playing, but Gary Brightwell, their third running back, is also on the reserve COVID list, which means they're heading into this game with Devontae Booker and then their fullbacks, Elijah Penny and Colin Gillespie. So I think we might see 25 touches for Devontae Booker this weekend at running back.
Interesting stuff. All right, so let's take a look over at DraftKings this weekend at some of the core plays, Davis, at quarterback, some ones that you like. Lamar Jackson coming off the bye for the Ravens. He is 7,300 this weekend. We have Jalen Hurts in what would seemingly be a pretty good matchup against the Chargers. I just don't know if Philadelphia is planning on running as much as they did last week. And then Tua Tagovailoa of the Dolphins going up against a horrible Houston defense. But Tua seemingly, again, in a kind of Murray situation. I know that the head coach, I'm seeing here that they said that Tua is questionable to play on Sunday. I mean, I assume he'll play, but it is his throwing hand. It is a finger, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, so I've waffled back and forth on Tua pretty much all week in terms of who I want to play as my quarterback in my main lineup on DraftKings this weekend. I do think the correct answer in the end is going to be Lamar Jackson. You know, basically Lamar, the reason he has not had this insane fantasy season that we sort of expect from him is every time they get to the 5-yard line, you know, we show up with Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, Taysom Williams, Latavius Murray, and, you know, pretty much it's a rubber band, right? We're pulling the rubber band back on the bad luck, and we are expecting it to snap forward a positive regression for Lamar, because if you know, Lamar only has two rushing touchdowns on the year. They both came against Kansas City, but his rushes look the same as they always have, you know, and Lamar is, you know, one of the best rushers, especially near the goal line in the NFL. He's never had less than 7 rushing touchdowns over the full season. Tua, like you said, he is dealing with his hand injury, but Houston Texans defense, terrible. And actually, you know, Tyrod Taylor starting for the Houston Texans, we could get a competitive game between the Dolphins, who've been terrible. You know, they've also been terrible this year. So I am expecting, you know, a little bit of back and forth there. And Tua has been running a little bit. We always like to see that. And then basically just a price play with Jalen Hurts. Last week was the first time in his NFL career he got less than 20 fantasy points as a starter. And basically the same thing happened to him that's been happening to Lamar. 2 rushing touchdowns for Jordan Howard, 2 rushing touchdowns for Boston Scott. You give Jalen Hurts even one of those, much less 2, you're talking about another satisfactory fantasy day for him.
Yeah, also near the goal line, no Latavius Murray. He's out this week for the Ravens. So some combination of Bell, Freeman, and maybe Tyson Williams again. But I would not be optimistic on Tyson Williams based on the last few weeks, that's for sure. Okay, so let's go over to running back now and some core plays on DraftKings. We have Zeke Elliott at 7,000, Booker, who we just mentioned, at 5,800. Elijah Mitchell is 5,800, although I did see Jeff Wilson could get back for the 49ers this week. So that's an interesting name, maybe just for the future. Darrell Williams of Kansas City, 5,700. Zach Moss on Buffalo for 5,300. You know, I'm really interested, Davis, in this kid Gore on Kansas City. I don't know. He looked pretty good to me. I know Williams is the touchdown guy probably no matter what on that team, but I thought Gore looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I am not so much worried about Derek Gore. You know, he is basically about as bang average as a player you can get. 26 years old, undrafted free agent, 4.7 40, you know, weighs 205 pounds. Like, he's just a very average athlete. The reason why he got in that game last week for the Kansas City Chiefs, if you remember, and with the first interception that Patrick Mahomes threw, just dinked off of Jerick McKinnon's helmet. So Jerick McKinnon, instead, you know, he was riding the pine because, I mean, Kansas City, it's like every player they have just seems to make a crucial error at least once a week. So and Darrell outtouched Derek Gore 19-11. Derek Gore was not targeted in the passing game. Darrell Williams got 5 targets in the passing game, including a pretty nice wheel route, which Kansas City loves to do with their running backs. But Elliott is the headliner here. Huge favorites against the Denver Broncos. We've seen the Dallas Cowboys are pretty sensitive to game script in terms of their run-to-pass ratios. In that competitive game against the Buccaneers, they threw the ball a ton. In all these other games that they've been winning, it's been a much more balanced rushing approach with Ezekiel Elliott. I mentioned Devontae Booker at the start of this segment. He is the only running back left on this Giants roster. He's got a 12% target share in the games with Saquon Barkley out. Feel pretty good about him getting 15 to 18 carries, 3 to 5 targets, decent crack at scoring a touchdown. Similar deal with Elijah Mitchell. You know, has not given any touches up to Trey Sermon. Jamichael Hasty is just a third down back. With Kyler banged up, the 49ers are 2-point home favorites here against the Cardinals, so we feel pretty good about Elijah Mitchell's workload. And then Zach Moss did not have a great fantasy game last week, but he is really pulling ahead of Singletary in terms of the usage at this point. You know, had the 6 targets last week and was like a 65-35 snap share with Devin Singletary last week.
Okay, let's go over to wide receiver. I do have one question here about wide receiver, so I'll ask you this. But let's start off here. Tyreek Hill, 7,900. DJ Moore of Carolina, 6,400. Amari Cooper is 57. T. Higgins is 52. And then Jerry Jeudy is 5,000. So here is my question, Davis. I'm playing in a league where my receivers are stacked because this is the way that I drafted. I have Deebo Samuel. I have CeeDee Lamb. I have DJ Moore. I have T. Higgins. Why is DJ Moore higher priced than T. Higgins? Why is he $1,200 more? I have Higgins in my lineup going into the weekend. How can I possibly trust the quarterbacks of Carolina right now?
So part of the DraftKings algorithm is related to how many people play these guys, and people play DJ Moore a lot, but also DJ Moore basically has the best volume of, you know, in terms of like total percentage of team air yards, total percentage of team targets, DJ Moore is amongst the best in the league. His worst game this year was 7 targets. He's had above 25% of the Carolina Panthers targets in every single game. He's efficient on the targets he does get relative to the rest of the offense. You know, has a really high catch rate, plays 90% of the snaps. Like, he just is, and wide receiver production is volatile. You know, that is something that's always important to remember with these guys. So much, you know, the gulf in production between Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins actually averages more receptions per game than Ja'Marr Chase. He just has not broken off these insane 75-yard touchdowns that it feels like Chase gets almost every single week. Both of them are great starts. I don't think you could go wrong, but I would definitely have DJ Moore slightly ahead of T. Higgins.
Okay, fair enough. Right now I have Higgins in there. If Darnold doesn't play, you would play more?
Just because of the way their offense is. It's all structured around getting DJ Moore the ball. DJ Moore basically gets the ball percentage wise the same amount that Tyreek Hill does for Kansas City. The offense is just much worse.
Okay, I'll swap that out and then yell at you on Monday. All right, tight ends. Travis Kelce, 7,000 on DraftKings. Mark Andrews, 5,500. I'm not going to try and pronounce this guy's name on Denver. Albert O. Ironically, it looks like Noah Fant, Davis, could be out this week. I'm guessing that's why you have him here.
Yep, Noah Fant on the reserve COVID list does not seem like he is going to play. I only know this guy's name because I'm a huge fan of him. It's Albert Okwuegbunam. He played 49% of the snaps last week, returned from the designated for return IR. Three targets, three receptions, 34 yards. I think he's basically in line for close to a 100% snap share this week for the Denver Broncos. The only other tight end they have on the roster is a guy by the name of Eric Sobert, who has... he's been in the NFL forever, is not really a difference-making player. Much like Dan Arnold last week on DraftKings, he just is going to be extremely, extremely popular, and I think he's got a good role. Denver should be passing here, so we feel good about Alberto.
All right. Well, Shurmur, we're going to hear from him coming up next. Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos, actually discussed Alberto playing this week. So interesting conversation we'll have there. This is more along the lines of this. There's still plenty of time left in the fantasy football season. But for those of you who are hanging on to players, waiting for you to be able to start them, it's kind of now or never. I mean, at some point you have to throw a big swing and try and win some games, especially if you're, let's say, 3-5 after your first 8 games, or 2-6, or even 4-4, maybe missing Derrick Henry.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright. Okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
It's time to take a shot. Is it now or never for a quarterback, running back, or receiver? We'll talk about that next. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. If you are on Twitter, follow us at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV for the latest news, notes, and information, fantasy, sports wagering, all kinds of great information there, videos we post throughout the day of our hosts and things going on in the world of sports that affect wagering and fantasy sports. So follow us over there at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. Well, Davis, got some names to review here on the show. We'll get into them in a minute, but it is kind of at the point in the fantasy season where we essentially are halfway through. Certainly we're going to see players. We're basically, here's the deal. We're not talking about players that are going to win somebody a fantasy championship. It happens every single year. There's no possible way that this time last year I could have said to you that Cam Akers is going to win people a fantasy championship. He wasn't playing. McVay was lying about his usage. They were playing everybody else. And that's going to happen again this year. But, you know, there does come a point where you want to see the players you invested in do something. And so I thought it'd be a decent exercise today to go over some of those players today on the show.
Yeah, and also, you know, the positional values matter too. It's much easier to cut bait on a quarterback or a tight end and feel like it won't matter that much if they come back and burn you. The position you hold on the longest is running back, because
sure,
running back fantasy points are very hard to find. And if you cut bait on a running back too early, you just feel like an idiot when 2 weeks later the running back they're sharing time with, you know, gets injured. So I in general, I'm fine cutting bait on most positions early rather than late, except for running back. I will hold on to running backs for dear life, pretty much.
Yeah, and it may not even be a matter of cutting. It just may be a matter of, can I ever start this player? And I think that's part of the conversation as well. All right, well, look, with all the news of Odell Beckham basically wanting out of Cleveland and former wide receiver Steve Smith going in on Baker Mayfield, thought, okay, let's go ahead and we'll start off with Baker Mayfield, who 2 years ago, Davis looked like Brett Favre. And now he sort of looks like, if no offense to my buddy Bernie Kosar, but he sort of looks like Bernie Kosar. He just doesn't throw the ball anymore. A lot of running in Cleveland, 1699 passing yards. Of course, he missed one game, but only 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 8.3 yards per attempt. This week, he goes up against the Cincinnati Bengals. It's sort of now or never for Baker Mayfield, Davis. You know, if you have Kyler Murray this week, and you're looking for a quarterback to stash just in case Murray doesn't play, in all likelihood, you're staring at Baker Mayfield and you're staring at like Jimmy Garoppolo and some others. But Baker Mayfield's probably on the waiver wire for you. You never would have thought that 2 years ago. It's sort of now or never, I feel like, for him. And by the way, I mean, with the way that the Bengals defense played last week, why shouldn't this be a good matchup for him?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is not even so much Baker, but it's just the way that they call plays. I mean, they play 13 personnel, which is one running back and 3 tight ends, 21% of the time. No other team in the NFL is playing that formation over 9% of the time, which basically means they're running the ball a ton, they're throwing the ball short, and tight ends, they just don't generate explosive plays the same way wide receivers do. You know, lots of quarterbacks, Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Beneficiary if he dumps the ball off to Debo Samuel. Debo Samuel makes 4 guys miss, runs off 83 yards. Jamar Chase, right? Gets a ball 20 yards down the field, makes the safety miss, runs off. That just doesn't happen for the Browns. The only guy they have who makes plays deep down the field like that is Donovan Peoples-Jones. DPJ did not play last week with a groin injury. Odell Beckham's gone. You know, Jarvis Landry is a good NFL wide receiver, but it does not create explosive plays. You know, he is a slot wide receiver. He catches the ball and he falls down. So, you know, this week, I think guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, even in what could be perceived as a more difficult matchup, I would probably rather go with them. So it seems like never for Baker Mayfield, at least this year.
Yeah, it does. It does feel like that. And, you know, by the way, Beckham has not signed with anybody yet. You know, everyone's spending all their time. You know, this feels like Josh Gordon again, maybe a little bit better. I mean, it may sound like blasphemy, but I don't see it with Beckham moving forward. Okay, now, I'm not trolling you on this next one at all, or even the one after that, but I was told by fantasy analysts, the season's going to start, Melvin Gordon's going to be the starter, and then sometime around week 3, week 4, week 5, week 6, week 7, week 8, Javonte Williams is going to take the job and he was going to run with it. Javonte Williams, that has not happened. And clearly, he's the better back. 78 rushes, 355 yards. Look at the yards per carry. 4.6 yards per carry. But my gosh, 1 rushing touchdown, 1 receiving touchdown, almost not playable with all the talent that he has, going up against a really good matchup, you would think. In Dallas, a lot of points would be scored. But that would require the offense to do something in Denver. Pat Shurmur is the offensive coordinator. They basically have had less offensive possessions than any other team in the NFL in the month of October. He talked about getting more explosive plays and less longer drives. And so essentially, Davis, what Williams has to do is make the most of these very limited possessions that Broncos have, these very limited rushes that he gets. And Melvin Gordon is rolling in as an RB2, and we're halfway through the season. So, I understand Javonte Williams is going to be probably a star eventually in the NFL, Davis, but for 2021, it's sort of now or never for this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly been touchdown variance between the two. Melvin Gordon has 106 touches for 545 yards. Javonte Williams has 100 touches for 490 yards. He has 26 targets. Melvin Gordon has 22. Melvin Gordon has scored 5 touchdowns, and Javonte Williams has scored 2. So, you know, if Melvin Gordon gets tackled on the one on 2 of those and Javonte Williams comes in on the other one, you know, then it's a much different conversation. Javonte is like clearly not a very comfortable start right now, mostly because of the offensive environment. You know, if the Broncos were good, if, you know, Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback of this team or something like that, the role that Javonte would have right now would be much more fantasy relevant. But I think that he's just kind of running bad on the touchdowns, specifically the receiving touchdowns for Melvin Gordon. You know, Melvin Gordon has not had over two receiving touchdowns since 2018, and he's already got to that mark here. So I think probably we will see a reversal of this. You're not feeling great about starting Javonte, but definitely I would not be interested in cutting him at the moment.
Yeah, definitely a stash, just hard to start. Well, last year, Davis, when we were doing this, you were very high on this wide receiver on the Jacksonville Jaguars named Laviska Shenault. And if you went and watched those games last year, you would think this guy's got a chance to be a star. No question about it. And then what have the numbers shown this year? Big yikes.
Terrible.
No touchdowns. Yeah. 28 receptions, 319 yards. And this week, it is not a great matchup going up against the Buffalo Bills. So because Davis is such a big fan of the Jaguars and such a big fan of the coaching, I thought it'd be a good idea to hear from the offensive coordinator in Daryl Bevel, who explains the way that the Jaguars on offense can get back to doing what they should be doing.
I just think when you get into a situation, you don't worry about anybody else and you do your job. So if I have a job to... Like my dad taught me, God rest his soul, a long time. You have a job, whatever it is, you do your job. Don't worry about his job. Don't worry about the guy behind your job. You do your job. And when we start doing that all the time, every play, and if a bad play happens, move on. Get to the next play. But I think we strung a lot of good plays in that game together. You know, we had 5-3 and outs, but you gotta do it every single play.
I know you would love that, Davis. So that's why I played it for you. Daryl Bevel,
yeah.
Do your job. That's going to get it done.
Unbelievable. I mean, so this is the problem with Shenault. He was never an outside wide receiver, wasn't an outside wide receiver in college, didn't play outside wide receiver at all as a rookie. DJ Shark gets injured. They move him to the outside. They start playing Tavon Austin and Jamal Agnew in the slot. So basically, you're really asking him to play a position that he's not really fast enough to do it. You know, he is more of a – he's like a 4-5. You know, he's stocky, right? That is like what Shenault's saying. He's very hard to tackle. And for whatever reason, they are playing Tavon Austin and Jamal Agnew over him in the slot, and they're targeting those guys in the slot, which are, you know, easier throws for Trevor Lawrence to make. Dan Arnold playing, you know, kind of the slot role as well there at tight end. So if that is what continues to happen – for Laviska Shenault, it's not going to happen, right? Won't happen this year, won't happen next year. He needs to play in the slot to be a successful fantasy football play, and he's not doing that right now. Would I cut Shenault? I wouldn't feel good about it, but in like a 12-team PPR league with 16 roster spots where you only start 8 guys or 9 guys, you could cut him, and I wouldn't tell you were wrong to do it for sure.
Yeah, it could be a nice buy low for next year if the coaching changes, but for this year, it seems like never. All right, now, look, after a couple of weeks of the season, it appeared as though with this high-powered Rams offense that there would be enough targets, enough yards, enough touchdowns for a tight end, honestly, with Stafford there. I mean, he threw to Hockenson a ton last year, but Tyler Higbee's not really been startable. 30 catches, 273 yards. Good yards per reception for a tight end, 9.1. But Davis, 2 touchdowns out of 8 games. That's not going to be enough. They go against the Titans this week. It's a juicy matchup for sure. It feels like everybody once this year is willing to get burned by playing Tyler Higbee. But Cooper Kupp has got his, and Woods has got his. They even let go of DeSean Jackson. So, okay, maybe an extra 5% goes Higbee's way. Gerald Everett was kind of a thing even with Jared Goff. Tyler Higbee is kind of now or never.
Yeah, I mean, Higbee, the playing time has been there, which has always been one of the concerns with him in the past. He was always splitting time with Gerald Everett. But really, the issue has just been there is, you know, no even distribution of touchdowns inside the Rams offense. Cooper Kupp and Daryl Henderson are scoring all the team's touchdowns. And then, you know, Robert Woods chipping in with, I think he has 3 touchdowns. Van Jefferson has 2 touchdowns. And so there just is really not this big role. Now, if Cooper Kupp is to slow down at all, I would assume Higbee would be one of those biggest beneficiaries because he should have a role in the red zone. And I mean, it's just a highlight of how bad the tight end position is. But in PPR, Tyler Higbee is the tight end 14. He scored 70 fantasy points. The tight end 8 is Darren Waller. He scored 80 fantasy points. You know, there are only 4 tight ends who have scored more than 100 fantasy points. It's just such a bad position. And, you know, there's not really a way to solve that. If you have Higbee, you're probably just stuck with him because you don't really, I mean, streaming tight end is very difficult to do. It's such a, you know, a pin the tail on the donkey type position. But I'm not feeling super optimistic about Tyler Higbee, you know, over the second half of the season.
Yeah, and Dawson Knox for the Buffalo Bills not going to play this week, and he's in the top 12, I assume, so that would mean Higbee gets a little bit of a bump, especially for this week. Couple of players off on bye as well. All right, coming up, it's time for us to wrap up this first hour of the show, so more updates on the football field for fantasy football. We've got Chris coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll also hear from Joe Brady, the Panthers offensive coordinator, on Christian McCaffrey and just exactly how much we could be seeing him as he returns from his injury this coming week. We've got more fantasy sports today coming up next, so stay on the grid. Be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. So, Davis, Adrian Peterson got a job. He's with the Titans running the ball. We know Latavius Murray is still running the ball. We know that Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell got gigs to return to the NFL. So why not Frank Gore? Well, we found out the answer today. Frank Gore has been training to become a professional boxer. And Davis, on December 18th, he's going to be on the undercard for a fight against former NBA point guard and all-star Darren Williams. So certainly, not the headliner in this fight, but now we know where Frank Gore is and why he has not come back.
Yeah, I guess we've learned, thinking about how this fight plays out, doesn't it feel like if it's NBA player versus NFL player, you just always take the NFL player? Like, I mean, maybe Darren Williams has really been training. Maybe he's got quicker hands because he was a point guard versus a running back. But I feel like if my options are in physical combat, I can choose an NBA player or an NFL player, and I don't know anything else, size, height. And I mean, I guess I would assume Darren Williams is taller than Frank Gore, has longer arms than Frank Gore. I would assume all of those things, but still, Frank Gore, like, the guy was 35 years old out there, running down 30 points for the Jets. It's like, he loves to be physically punished, like, that he relishes it. So I think probably I will side with Frank Gore in that bout.
Speaking of Adrian Peterson, where are you at with rankings with him this week? The Titans did nothing else except for bring him in.
Yeah, well, they have the three-man backfield of Donta Foreman, Jeremy McNichols, Adrian Peterson. My take, and I was talking about this with George this week, I think Donta Foreman is actually going to get the first crack. Like, it's just so hard for me to imagine a 36-year-old running back coming in cold off the street and getting all these carries. So I think Foreman is worth a look and definitely added him on a bunch of teams.
Let me tell you, I was so wrong on that player coming out of the University of Texas. I thought he was going to be a star in the NFL. He was awesome with them. Back-to-back players, in fact. Him and Chris Warren, if I'm not mistaken, both running back at Texas, didn't work out. All right, we've got Chris's update next.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
You see a trend?